Pod Culture, episode 254, TARDIS Interruptus, volume 7, for Monday, April 4th, 2011. This episode of Pod Culture is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/podculture. More information after the opening segment. To Pod Culture. As you can probably tell by this lovely audio and that great theme music, this isn't your ordinary episode. We're back with another TARDIS Interruptus.
Yay!
Little smaller crew than usual this time. I'm Brad.
I'm Christina.
Andy.
And our professors of Whovian knowledge.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Richard.
And we're the experts,
yes.
They say. I don't know.
You are.
But don't try this at home.
Oh, don't try this at home.
No, try it at home. It's awesome.
No, do, yeah. Try
yes,
this
watch,
at home.
Watch the Who.
No, that's completely different.
Yes.
All right. Yes, so you're the Who's shirt that
I
you
love,
got from T.
Yes.
Fury.
Everybody keep an eye on T. Fury and QWERTY.com and shirts.woot.com because there's usually some kind of Who awesomeness going on.
And for official licensed products, make sure you go to Who North America, www.whona.com. And while you're there buying your cool Doctor Who stuff, make sure you stop by the forum and check out the message boards. Keep up with what's going on in Whodom and chat with other fans.
And also brought to you by Lucky Stripes, which doesn't exist anymore.
And for some great audio stuff, check out audible.com or audibletrial.com/podculture.
Get a free audiobook read by David Tennant or Matt Smith or Arthur Darville or
all kinds of Whovian.
All kinds of
Whovian stuff. Okay, great.
Hopefully, I've got nothing to pimp. Sorry.
Okay. Okay, right now, you being a school teacher, you don't want to mention anything like pimp.
Yeah, that would be
bad.
Okay. And hopefully this is not an episode that Audible picks to check out the add-on.
Well, no, it is a cool thing, because they do have lots of Doctor Who actors.
Yes, they do. Actually, they do.
Audio books and audio dramas on audible.com.
Audibletrial.com/podculture.
Yes.
Link on the site. Okay, we're done. But why are we here this time? We want to do a little bit of an epilogue, follow-up kind of thing to previous TARDIS Interruptus that we did for Nicholas Courtney. We got sent some audio from our friend Brian from British Invaders podcast.
Hi, Brian.
And we mentioned some episodes after we had talked about Inferno, after we watched Inferno and talked about it, we mentioned that the Brigadier showed up in a couple of episodes of the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Which is totally awesome.
So we get to kind of see him in modern form. So we kind of wanted to do that, where we're going to watch those episodes and come back and talk about them a little bit.
I love talking about Sarah Jane Adventures.
And this is,
I love looking at Sarah Jane.
That's
good. Everybody likes looking at Sarah Jane.
It's the final serial of Series 2, Revenge of the Bane? Something Bane.
Yeah, have to look at it.
Yep, but look at
it. It was for the moment.
It'll be posted on the link.
Yeah. This is Pod Culture. We're not known for being prepared. Just informal. But we will be back right after this.
We're just happy to be doing good works.
Equality. Got a distress call coming in. Some folks asking for help.
Really?
It's not Both something we should be help. Striving for.
You should sit down.
Just leave the captain in
it's
zone.
Get back to shooting.
The only way to help them
is like gravity. We need it to stand on this earth as men and women.
I'm right behind you, baby.
Who the hell are you?
We are the Signal.
A podcast all about Firefly and Serenity.
There's the truth of the Signal.
It's Jane being so generous with this cut that confuses and frightens me.
It does kind of freeze the blood.
On our shows, you will find features, news, reviews, interviews, articles, and anything else we can think of relating to the verse of Firefly and Serenity.
It's going to be an all-day event. They've got Brown Coat's Redemption. They've got Dr. Horrible.
We're continuing to explore the verse, and we want you to join us. Just go to www.serenityfirefly.com.
The Signal. We're just happy to be doing good works.
What was that?
Hey folks, this is Brian from British Invaders. As you probably know, Nicholas Courtney, who was famous for playing the Brigadier on classic Doctor Who, died recently at age 81. And it was very nice hearing you discuss Nick Courtney's contributions on your recent TARDIS Interruptus episode. Brad has asked me to send in some thoughts about this. So here is my quick guide to Nicholas Courtney on Doctor Who in under 10 minutes. Nicholas Courtney first appeared on Doctor Who in late 1965 in the Daleks' Master Plan. He was actually playing a character called Brett Vion, who was an agent for the Space Security Service, and he was playing across from William Hartnell, the first Doctor. And while the Daleks' Master Plan is no longer complete, most of the episodes are missing, you can find a couple of episodes of Courtney's performance on the Lost in Time DVD set. It was a couple of years later, in early 1968, when Courtney showed up again in The Web of Fear. This time he was playing Lethbridge Stewart, Colonel Lethbridge Stewart at this point, who was one of the characters in that story. There were a few military characters, but there was no military organization that we would see later on. That performance in The Web of Fear is missing, so we can't see it, but it was a little different from what would come later because the character was more ambiguous. It wasn't completely clear that he was one of the good guys until a little later in the story. Several months later, in late 1968, there was a story that marked the very beginning of a sea change in Doctor Who, and this was The Invasion. And Nicholas Courtney was back as Lethbridge Stewart, but now he was the Brigadier. He was Brigadier Alistair Gordon Lethbridge Stewart, as he would be for many other appearances. This story marked the first appearance of UNIT. It was a newly created organization, the United Nations Intelligence Task Force, which was set up to deal with aliens and other strange threats. And Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart was the commanding officer. This was a military organization, commanding officer in the UK. This story introduced the format of UNIT being a military organization that would be an ally and act as support for the Doctor, and would also have some types of conflict and disagreement with the Doctor as well. And this is something that we would see much more of in the coming years. It is a very good story, and it's available on DVD, despite the fact that a couple of episodes are missing. It featured Patrick Troughton as the second Doctor, and it featured a very good human villain, played by Kevin Stoney, and some familiar alien villains as well. Classic story that's quite an interesting one from the late 60s. Doctor Who changed a lot in 1970. In the previous year, we had black and white adventures with Patrick Troughton as the second Doctor, traveling from planet to planet and time to time and all over the place. Well, in 1970, the Doctor was exiled to Earth and had a TARDIS that was not entirely working, that he wasn't able to fix. We also had the third Doctor, played by Jon Pertwee, and we had Doctor Who in color, but it was always in the present day on Earth. The early 1970s era, especially from 70 to 73, was the UNIT era. UNIT was basically a part of every story, or almost every story, most of the stories being set on Earth. And what was set up was a regular cast of characters, a sort of UNIT family, that included the Doctor and a young female companion, of course, and also the Brigadier and several others. And this was when the Doctor and the Brigadier built up this character chemistry. And it is a really exciting, interesting time in Doctor Who. And the Brigadier was a big part of that. He was someone who was clearly the Doctor's friend, but very much in conflict with the Doctor. He was the type of person who could clearly be a good guy and clearly someone you liked, while he was also clearly in the wrong. It was something that Nicholas Courtney played very well, and it was something that was showcased with these characters over a number of years while you had the Doctor based on Earth. Now, that era did end. The Brigadier only met with the Fourth Doctor, Tom Baker's Doctor, in two different stories, both early in Tom Baker's time. But the Brigadier would, of course, return. He was a very long-standing character in Doctor Who. He showed up a couple of times with the Fifth Doctor, Peter Davison. This is now in the 1980s. Once was in a neat story called Modern Undead, which had two different versions of the Brigadier who played off each other a little bit. And that was sort of a neat, rather different story. And then, of course, you had The Five Doctors, which was a reunion special, and it included lots of companions and doctors, and of course it included the Brigadier as well. The Brigadier appeared once more in the classic series in a Seventh Doctor story called Battlefield. And this was a story where the Brigadier had been brought out of retirement and was back in uniform, back working with UNIT once again. And this also is a fun story, and it was a full 20 years after the original appearance of Lethbridge Stewart. This was in 1988. That was not the last time the Brigadier would show up in any form. There were a number of audio dramas from Big Finish that featured Nicholas Courtney as the Brigadier in a variety of settings, some with the Doctor and some without. And there was also a television appearance of a much older version of the Brigadier on the Sarah Jane Adventures, which was quite nice as well. That was in 2008. Nicholas Courtney made so many appearances as the Brigadier that I think it's worth recommending a few of the ones that I particularly liked. There is the Patrick Troughton story I mentioned, The Invasion, is very good. It's worth watching. And in the John Pertwee era, there were many appearances by the Brigadier, and I particularly liked Doctor Who and the Silurians and Inferno, both from the first season with John Pertwee, and both really neat stories. In Tom Baker's era, Terror of the Zygons is very good. With Peter Davison, you had Modern Undead, which is a very different story, and it's worth taking a look at, for sure. And of course, with Sylvester McCoy, his final classic series appearance, Battlefield, is also well worth checking out. There were lots of appearances by Nick Courtney as the Brigadier on Big Finish in their audio dramas. In particular, I want to mention a few things. There was a companion chronicle called Old Soldiers, which has Nicholas Courtney in the character of the Brigadier telling a story that involved the Doctor and so on, with full sound design and everything, and one or two other voices. Well worth listening to. Very good showcase of Nick Courtney. There was also a UNIT spinoff that did not involve the Doctor and had some appearances by the Brigadier, so UNIT is worth listening to as well. And finally, I think Doctor Who Unbound, the two appearances in there, Sympathy for the Devil and Masters of War, are both very interesting. It's sort of a different take on Doctor Who and the Doctor, and the Brigadier fits into that very strongly as well. Nicholas Courtney had a reputation for being a very good and kind person to work with, and also fans at conventions and other events always seemed to have very good things to say about him, that he was very nice and had time for everyone. He was someone who was very proud to be part of Doctor Who and the legacy of Doctor Who. Nicholas Courtney and Brigadier Alistair Gordon Lethbridge-Stewart will both be missed very much.
Hey, Christina.
Hey, Brad.
Tell the listeners about this really cool thing that you've got cooked up for them.
It's cooler than cool, and it is cooked up by Audible.com. If you click on the link on our site, it will get you a free audiobook download and 2 weeks to explore the over 85,000 titles they have to choose from.
And you've got a really cool one picked out that's kind of appropriate for this episode.
Oh, yes. I am listening to Doctor Who, The Stone Rose by Jacqueline Rayner, read by the lovely David Tennant.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the story of Jackie and Mickey and Rose and the Doctor at the British Museum seeing a statue from the Roman times that looks an awful lot like Rose.
Cool. So if they want to get that or any other of the bazillion titles that they have at Audible.com.
And it is so easy, and there's an app for your iPhone, there's an app for your Android phone, there's an app on your computer. It's awesome.
I think they're even available on the Kindle.
They are, yes.
So if they want to check that out, they can go to audibletrial.com/podculture and sign up.
It's easy and free.
And a lot like this show.
Aww.
And we are back.
Welcome back.
Again.
Yay.
Again. Yay. Having just watched the two-parter...
Enemy of the Bane.
Enemy of the Bane from the Sarah Jane Adventures. We'll say starring the Brigadier.
No, but he's a guest star.
Featuring the Brigadier.
You're on my foot.
You got two of them.
He gets some face time.
Yeah.
Get some good quality face time, really.
Good voice time, too.
Oh, God, yes. He could read the phone book and it would be all right.
You know, he doesn't have to be on screen very long. He still has his commanding presence.
He does. Mm-hmm. He really does. He doesn't take crap from anybody.
Like when he is just holding the cane right up against the... He ain't going anywhere, buddy.
And you're thinking, okay, yeah, big deal, a cane. And then it shoots a dart, shoots a tranquilizer dart. Awesome.
I mean, when old man raises his cane, something's going to happen. A big beating or, well, in this case, a shooting.
All right, so who can summarize the story of Enemy of the Bane?
You.
The Bane, which were featured in season one, mm-hmm. obviously the premiere that gave us Luke. They created Luke, and Mrs. Wormwood of the Bane is back. Miss Moneypenny is back. Crushed down on Bond, but on Luke. And asks Sarah Jane for help. Seems to prove her worthiness. And then, of course, there's double cross and another double cross. And I think another double cross.
There's a Centauran for good measure.
Yeah, throw in a Centauran for good measure.
That didn't have a very masculine voice.
Throw in Unit for good measure, uh-huh. which then is the tie-in to the good Brigadier. Mm-hmm.
And, Sir Alistair.
Stewart.
The whole plot?
It's about conquest.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a device, a computer that'll allow them to control the universe, as it were, or, the creation and destruction aspects, and that's what Wormwood wants. And she's going to use Luke to get it.
Uh-huh. And there's very Darth Vader...
Yes,
Luke, I am your mother. She plays on Skywalker.
His need for family.
Hello.
Yeah.
I swear one of these days I'll see that movie.
So as a... I guess that was the final appearance of the Brigadier.
Yes, it was.
Just to see him wave, that last scene is kind of almost bring a little tear. It's like, yeah, that's it.
Tallyho dried off in a nice Jaguar, of course.
No.
Jaguar.
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 That's right, the Jaguar.
He must pull a pretty good pension.
Well, after all the hazard pay you got to think he's had over the years.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
And exactly what the hell does he keep doing in Peru? Because he's apparently always going to Peru.
I don't know.
Maybe it has something to do with that blue crystal from Metabito 3, that third doctor.
Maybe.
Yeah. Machu Picchu is really something special.
Or Lake Titicaca.
That's just say it again. Lake Titicaca?
Gentlemen.
Say it again.
Oh, God.
El Lago Titicaca.
Anyway. Just don't get into the jokes that we're getting, you know, doing on
all of it.
Titties and crap.
No.
Let's just...
That's the regular
show. We were watching something, and they said about things being literal. And they talked about Lake Titicaca has neither more.
It has nothing to do with what we think.
No, we were watching something. I can't. Anyway,
somebody with a mind like ours might. Anyway,
that would be the alternative title for the episode.
Anyway, back to issues at hand. Yes, the Brigadier waving on his last shot. A bit teary eyed because he realized it's. Well,
now we realize it.
Well, yes. I mean, you're watching it now, and you just like it's kind of weird,
nostalgic. But, I mean, yeah, it's very you realize fitting. Now. Yeah, and here it was, and his last scene was a wave goodbye, and now he is gone.
And Sarah Jane is waving at him, and it's just nice.
He's leaving with warm feelings and everybody's happy ending,
having
and,
saved the world once again, one more time. Yeah.
One last time. Do thank you. Thank you.
Went out like the bang. Still, be with the cave.
Well, I think it speaks to him as a character that even, not just in the Seventh Doctor story where he's out, he's in retirement for a while. But I mean, this is like seriously deep in retirement territory, and he's still willing to just hop into the mix and do whatever he has to do to, help Sarah Jane. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, he doesn't really hesitate when she's got to get into the Black Archives.
Yeah, he doesn't think twice. He just helps her.
Well, this was put out, this was 2 years ago, this episode?
This was the end of series two, so it was about
2008.
Yeah.
So he would have been pushing 80 at the time. So getting close to there.
And God bless him. I hope I look that good when I'm 80.
And
I hope I look as good as Sarah Jane when I'm her age.
Oh,
Nick, you had mentioned, Nick, that I don't know if it was on mic, but apparently he was supposed to have been in The Wedding of Sarah Jane Smith, but
that was the intention. Russell was going to have him
give her
play
away.
The father to Sarah and give her away. But at the time, Nick was not doing well health-wise for one reason or another. I don't know what.
Yeah, when he get up there.
So it didn't happen. So he would have had an opportunity at that point to actually meet the 10th Doctor, and that sadly didn't happen.
Or we can get Benton or Yates and get them into the wedding.
Well,
I really enjoyed that story, though, the wedding of Sarah
Benton!
Yeah, it was a good episode.
I cried because I just felt so bad for her. It's like I was so desperate for her to have something, and it got taken away from her. It's like, God, that poor woman has been through the war several times.
Sarah Jane, she can pull. She can make you pull a tear.
God, she's so great.
A tear, Sarah Jane.
Oh, the third doctor,
John Pertwee.
Pertwee's final.
His final line: a tear, Sarah Jane. Yeah.
I just want to be Elizabeth Slayton when I grow up.
You're grown up.
Never.
No, she's not grown up.
I'll kick you right here.
See what I mean? But and we think as a final note, Nick, do you think it was a good?
Oh, it was fine. Song? Sure, I kind of wish he actually had more to do with the actual plot. He was more like a side character. It's when they've been bringing the Brigadier back after the Fourth Doctor era, which is his last time he was really in charge of stuff in Modern Undead with the Fifth Doctor. He was kind of added to the story, but he became a big part of the story. And then in Battlefield with the Seventh Doctor, it was excitement outside.
Apparently so. Sirens outside the studio.
He played a big part in that. This one, they needed the Brigadier to get in to get the archive, yeah, the Black Archives, to get the device to save the universe, and that was fine. But
well, considering his age, you couldn't really push him to do any
more. No, of course not.
In the story,
but it was nice. Yeah, it was nice to have him back with Sarah Jane again, and to at least bring him into the New Who, even though it was the spinoff show rather than the proper show. So it's nice to at least, you know, have him around one last time.
Yes, and speaking of his age, I think I had to remark in the scene where he and Sarah Jane and, you know, a few of the companions were knocked out, and he conveniently slumped into a chair in a seated position because he was probably too old to go to ground at this stage.
Well, you know,
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
He could get down.
Life alert.
Can get up.
Not right.
Sorry.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the Brigadier retires and the recruitment qualification for unit go all to shit.
Yeah, okay, and how easy was it for alien dude to get into unit? Do they not have some kind of, like, bio scan going on?
Well, perhaps he took the place of the real one.
Maybe.
But still, don't they have some kind of bio scan? I mean, my God, they have a your fancy computer and your hole-in-the-wall computer able to tell that...
Well, that may be, but when the Brigadier and Sarah show up to break in, they weren't body scanned. They just checked the passes and they drove right on in and did their thing.
That's true.
I mean, if he was, you know, if he was replaced, you know, off-site and shows up wearing the uniform and having the ID badge, he just walks right on
in. It was like no different when Martha was with the Suntarans. They
changed
her around and got her involved.
The Suntaran stratagem when she was replaced by the Suntaran clone of her. Then, yeah.
Damn, that was evil Martha.
All right, Brad. Hold him off.
I'll be in my bunk.
Martha.
He's got a Martha problem.
Martha Jones.
Sorry, man.
Ain't no problem. It's his freebie.
I know. Fine.
Exactly. So, this was a short TARDIS Interruptus, it was good watching the brig one more time.
Wrap around story. So. I like it.
Any final thoughts?
Watch Sarah Jane Adventures. I don't care if you are an adult or bear a reasonable resemblance to one.
Well, you kicking me when you say that.
You need to watch it. She's awesome.
This is actually only my fourth episode. I've only seen the first three and this one.
Cool.
Well, yep. These two.
You haven't seen the ones with the 10th and 11th Doctors?
I haven't seen...
Hasn't actually aired over here in the States. Or released on DVD, unless we get... I'm not smart enough on the internet to really do anything much. But the 10th Doctor, when you didn't watch The Wedding of Sarah Jane? No? We didn't show them to you?
Tennant and Smith both.
Nigel Havers.
I don't think
I showed that to you. We'll have to do that next Tuesday.
Okay.
No. But yeah, it was cool.
It was pretty.
And that was David Tennant's last appearance as the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he already finished with End of Time in that, so when he went to Sarah Jane, that's his actual last appearance as the 10th Doctor.
And I like how they tied that into the appearance of the 11th Doctor later on with Clyde.
Oh yeah, like I said, I haven't seen the one with Joe Grant.
We can fix that.
Hook you up.
So we can hook you up.
Love Joe. That's the thing about the Sarah Jane Adventures that's cool for me is because all these Third Doctor people, Sarah Jane and the Brigadier and Joe Grant. Now that you see bring back Liz Shaw and Sergeant Benton.
You know, funny. I don't think that the companions from the Fourth Doctor. No, I should take that back. I mean, let me rephrase that. Companions like Tegan and Nyssa and Adric and them. I don't think any of those really work as comebacks. I don't get the impression. It just doesn't seem to fit. But these. Do Sarah, Brigadier? I can see Katie Manning coming back.
I want to see Sophie Aldridge.
You know what? Ace could probably do
Ace
it too.
It depends on how they can.
As Sarah Jane or showing up on the proper series?
Either one. I don't care.
That's hard to say. It depends on the story. I mean, you wouldn't think that the new program would have brought anybody back, or that you couldn't properly format that, but. Sarah Jane was obvious, and School Reunion was a great program.
School Reunion is
it's you know it's
yeah.
It's interesting. We talked about it.
What the nasty lady do to you?
We talked about one of the other programs about should the current run of Doctor Who stay with its own thing or should it keep revisiting?
You know, I would like to see it stick with its own thing.
So it depends. If there's a clever enough idea to bring in another past companion or something, then why not? We got an anniversary year coming up. They could do all kinds of really interesting things.
It's not like you like a typical anniversary deal where you get everybody to get everybody together and then they have nothing to do. And that's what they want.
Like the Fifth Doctor.
The Five Doctors was kind of one of those deals. You brought everybody in and everybody had almost nothing to do. It doesn't feel satisfying. So to bring somebody in to bring them in, no. If there's a story that warrants it, I don't have a problem with the new series connecting with its past because it's a continuation. It's not a reboot. There's really no reason to make those kind of restrictions. But, sure, bring them back. But do it judiciously. Yeah.
Well, I liked in... I forget what... Oh, it wasn't School Reunion where Sarah Jane hugs Rose. And she says, if you need to come find me, come find me. And I think that would be cool to see, you know, something like that where they... I don't know.
Down for coffee?
Well, I mean...
Except that she's in the alternate universe?
What?
Not that... Well, like, well,
not Rose
obviously
specifically.
Obviously, they can come back,
but... Not Rose specifically, but it's that idea of these women that get... And men that
the ex-companions coffee club.
Hey, we're going to read a book and talk about the Doctor.
It's kind of like with Sarah and her program. It would really depend upon...
How they do it, right.
If you look at these, they're all Third Doctor companions. They got a lot in common.
Uh-huh.
Even though Sarah and Joe didn't meet on the proper program, Sarah replaced Joe. They were all, well, Joe was a member of UNIT. Sarah just kind of was around for it. So they have commonality with the people that they knew, whether it be the Third Doctor himself, or whether it's the Brigadier, or whether it's UNIT, because they're all kind of around that. That makes sense to figure out a way of getting other. Modern companions, contemporary companions, like say Tegan, mm-hmm. who was from our time, or Ace, or these kinds of folks. It would really have to find a really interesting way of doing it because they wouldn't otherwise know any of these people.
Was it you? Who
Ace
said?
May because she was in Battlefield with the Brigadier.
Was it you who said that the Doctor's relationship to Amy is similar to the Doctor's relationship to Ace in that it's kind of like that student-teacher kind of relationship. Like, they have that kind of...
Except Ace didn't want to jump the Doctor's bones at every opportunity.
Well, yeah, that's true. But like, that's
a problem
same,
the program has.
But yeah. That's her problem with him, not the other way around.
Well, I don't know if I said that or not.
I can't remember.
I say all kinds of crazy things.
Well, but that's part of the way it's written now. It's a little bit freer in terms of the relationships than what it would... Well, see, that's why I seem a little bit prude when we're talking about the movie, the relationship, the kissing of the Doctor, the companion. It's one thing, like you said, when the Doctor was kissing Grace because he was overwhelmed and excited. A passionate kiss, just to me, is not the character of the Doctor, a passionate one. I don't particularly care for it. But in the new series, everything's a little bit more... they've opened the floodgates a little bit to be a little more gratuitous with the relationship, to be a little more freer to explore, like Martha just fawning all over the Doctor.
That just drove me crazy. That whole season drove me crazy.
Yeah, but I don't see the Doctor being reciprocating of that kind of behavior, mm-hmm. because that's not who he is.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Apart from Rose, he hadn't been. He didn't see all that in Martha. He didn't see that in Donna. And the 11th Doctor wants
that,
nothing
Donna?
To do with a relationship with Amy.
But Rose,
it's Amy who throws herself at him.
And she he freaks the hell out.
Rose,
so
brings,
really, Rose is the only one that it seemed as if the 10th Doctor, because the 9th Doctor, not, I didn't really see it as much, but the 10th Doctor obviously was falling in love with Rose. Just,
little by little, though, and I liked that it was little by little.
It was just chase.
I found the 9th Doctor's relationship with Rose... to be a little different. I didn't see much of a romantic thing. I saw a different kind of relationship, like, say, with the 4th Doctor and Sarah.
Yeah.
Or, like, the 7th Doctor and Ace.
And yet the 9th Doctor, when you had the Captain Jack episode, and when Jack was dancing with Rose, you had that little tinge of jealousy from the Doctor there.
Well, yeah.
You know, and that maybe just be the he wants to be the center of attention aspect.
Of course he
But
does.
Then when Tent comes in, yes, there is that more... I'm think
the
I'm
doctor's
getting
got an ego.
Yes, that's true. But he gets more into her, and then you spend the whole time after she's gone with Martha being into him, and she tells him on at least two occasions that I can remember, you're not looking at me. You're looking at the companion and seeing Rose.
Oh yeah, and he keeps, of course, he's bringing up like, oh, this is
Rose. Rose. You know, taking me to
all the places. Oh, she's blonde, is she?
You're taking me to all the places you took her. Yeah,
right. Like, I can't remember the doctor's been is really much an isolate. He has to basically put the offer to the companions like Rose and Donna. It's like, come with me. Do you want to come with me? Yeah, I can offer you the universe. I can show you this and that. But he's a lonely character. Rose, I think, was one that had drawn out of the doctor a way to be a little bit more compassionate, mm-hmm. but not necessarily in a romantic way. Because by the time he gets over Rose and Martha starts coming in, all that fawning all over, he doesn't respond to his companions in that way. It becomes a chaste, understanding relationship. And it doesn't go beyond that. And that's, I think, consistent with the nature of the doctor, even from the beginning. It's more like a family and not a romantic, mm-hmm. hey, chicky baby, let's get it together and go around the universe for a couple times. It's not like that.
Well, the closest thing you get to that kind of relationship, the fourth doctor referred to Sarah more than once as being his best friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you see with the third doctor that he was very close with Joe Grant. But it was more like a paternal kind of thing, much like the Seventh Doctor and Ace. Mm-hmm. So they were very close and very tight, but not in that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, as close as you're going to come to that kind of emotion is when the Third Doctor says goodbye. Well, it actually doesn't. But at the end of the Green Death, yeah. when Joe stays behind to get to marry the scientists, they're going to go up to the Amazon. You can see all over John Pertwee's face that the doctor is really sad about this and heartbroken, to the point where at this party, he kind of slips away and leaves and drives off in Bessie all by himself.
Aww.
And it's heart-wrenching because he can't even bring himself to properly say goodbye to Joe because he's so broke up about it. And that's about as close as you're going to get to the doctor feeling real deep emotions for a companion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we see
that.
Well, that's
why. Oh, it is hard. If you haven't seen the Green Death, no. It's a good story already.
But you know,
but that, like, it all comes out because of Katie and John, mm-hmm. because they were so tight. Matter of fact, that whole group of people in those 5 years that John was the doctor,
I like him.
Were very, very tight people. I mean, for all 5 years, you had John Pertwee as the star, Barry Letts the producer, Terrence Dix as the writer. They had a lot of consistency. Mm-hmm. You only had. Liz Sladen for that last year. Uh-huh. He had Joe 3 years before that. And the first year he had Caroline John. And you had the Brigadier the entire time and Unit the entire time. But even for the 1 year with Liz Sladen and the 1 year with Caroline John, it was all very tight. Wow. But those years where it was John and Nick and Katie and Roger Delgado was the master, I mean, they were quite a group of people.
That's cool.
And so, by this time, you know, Roger had died in his car accident, and Katie was leaving at the end of the year. Barry Letts and Terrence Dix already decided they were going to leave after the following year. And John was just heartbroken because, everybody was going away. And it comes across the performances.
Aww.
And, it's kind of sad. God bless Katie.
A lot of the earlier Unit stories are the ones not that we get too sidetracked, but I guess especially with the Brigadier, I guess you see him as a different kind of companion, even though he's not a traveling one. If you go back to the Third Doctor, there's a better, I think there's a stronger relationship tie between when it is Sarah and it is the Brigadier and it is the Doctor. All of that, it's still unique, and even though the Brigadier really doesn't have like a lot of episodes that he's actually in.
Well, the first couple of years, more so, because Unit had a stronger presence. Now, he did do a couple of stories with Patrick Troutman, we discussed that on the other show about Nick, and they were fine, and they were good stories. But, once again, because of the format they were forced to go into when the John Pertwee years began, the first year, they were all Unit stories, every single one of them. So, Nick was there for every single one of them. The second year, when they added the Master, they were still mostly Earthbound Unit stories. Colony in Space took them out into space, and the Brigadier's only there at the very beginning and the very end, before the TARDIS leaves and after it comes back. And there's a joke about that in the actual episode because they've only been gone for like that. you know. But otherwise, the Brigadier figures in all those stories as well, to some degree or another. And then the following year, he was in the Sea Devils, and he was in the Time Monster. But I think just those two. He wasn't. It was in Day of the Daleks.
Yes.
Which started the season off. So he was in three of the five shows in that year. So Unit was had a Brigadier presence. So I think it was during those years that they really built the Brigadier up to be a larger character. And he was certainly, even though it wasn't a... I mean, companions bandied about a lot as to what makes a companion. Because they weren't always even called companions. They're often called assistants as well. I mean, Liz Shaw is an assistant. Is she a companion? Well, it depends how you define the word. I mean, I find the Brigadier as much a companion as anybody else because he is the Doctor's ally. He's the Doctor's friend. Mm-hmm. He helps the Doctor out on the Doctor's stories. Does it make a companion to me? Yeah, I think so.
But in the traditional definition of a companion, one who travels with him...
because most of the time they do. But...
You had long stretches where many Doctors didn't travel.
Most of them did most of the time, but at some point in time or another.
Like, would Astrid be a...
No.
Commanding? No.
She was
Sarah
a...
Sarah Kingdom.
They were one-shot guest stars on a story. The Brigadier was an ally, a recurring character over a lot of years and a lot of Doctors. And Unit itself is a presence throughout Doctor Who's run. You look at Liz Shaw. Yeah, she didn't travel with the Doctor in the TARDIS, unless you would count going sideways in time and backwards and forwards and that kind of thing. But didn't travel in the TARDIS. But she's the Doctor's assistant, which is also what they call these things. And she was the primary guest star. So, yeah, she's a companion.
And I just want to know one thing out of that whole run with Pertwee. How the hell did they get the console out of the TARDIS?
Maybe the door is bigger on the outside than the inside, too.
It's true.
Well, so, it's two doors, isn't it?
But that console is big.
Well, what they do is they kick it out the back.
It's a target service entrance. You know, it's the...
There you go.
It's the loading dock in the back. It's got a big rear end.
So the TARDIS has a junk in the trunk.
Oh my gosh.
TARDIS has a junk in the
trunk. TARDIS has a lot of junk. God love him.
But you'll see, but in those years that the Brigadier was developed in the Pertwee years especially, you see a really interesting relationship because the Doctor and the Brigadier do not always agree. They have way different tactics on how to do things. The Doctor is pacifistic, and the Brigadier likes to blow things up and shoot things. A good example is at the end of Doctor Who and the Silurians, where the Doctor is trying to broker a peace with the Silurians where they can live together and share the planet. The Silurians can live in places that the humans can't because that's where they're more comfortable and we have our place. However, the Brigadier sees them as a threat and sees them after the events in the story, which I won't get into, it takes only to talk about that. But because of the events in it, they can't be trusted, so... He seals off the Silurians and blows them up.
But you know what's the good thing about those older stories is that they're written in a way that I think you can really see the Brigadier's side. He has a very...
The Brigadier, from his point of view, is absolutely right. It's just like Harriet Jones in the Christmas Invasion.
Uh-huh.
From her point of view, she has people to protect, and she's correct. The Doctor's correct, too. Nobody's wrong here. And the Doctor sees that. It doesn't really create a rift between them. He just kind of shakes his head, says that's murder, and he and Liz drive off in Bessie. You know, and then the next week when they show back up again in The Ambassadors of Death,
they're normal.
Everything is fine again. You know, they don't always agree, but there is a, between the two of them, back and forth, there is a deep amount of respect that they give each other. Whereas the Doctor may call the Brigadier names, the Brigadier just kind of shrugs it off, and they go about their business. Yeah. So, which makes for a very good relationship between the Brigadier and whoever Doctor he is, whether it's there with John, whether it's prior to that with Pat, whether it's with Tom, or whether it's with Peter or Sylvester,
or even in an adventure with Sarah Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He's a big presence and will definitely be missed.
Definitely.
Yes. Oh. And I would like them to just not even address it on the new program. The Brigadier is still alive and well and off doing other adventures and living in retirement with Doris.
Is in Peru. Stuck in Peru.
Or stuck in Peru.
All right. And on that note, folks, we are out of here.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Theme music for Pod Culture provided by the band Beatnik Turtle. Check out the band and their other great music online at beatnikturtle.com.
If you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are many different ways.
You can email us, feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That's 812-672-4POD.
Comment on the website, podculture.com.
Drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3.
Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness.
The Geek Spin, countdown to relaunch. Number 5. Greetings, folks, and welcome to the Geek Spin, countdown to relaunch number 5. I'm your host, Brad Boyer, and yeah, I've kind of been out of the world of music podcasting for a little bit, so bear with me as I get back into the groove of things here. Over the next few days, I'll be playing some of my favorite songs from past episodes as I count down to the relaunch of the all-new Geek Spin on Monday, April 11th. With the relaunch show, I hope to bring you a collection of cool new tunes each month, as well as my geeky take and opinion on some of the things happening today, and hopefully your views and opinions and feedback as well. My selection for today is, a bit wicked, for the lack of a better term, I guess. Ripped straight from YouTube, it combines a couple of my favorite things, Doctor Who and musical theater. Here is none other than Captain Jack himself, John Barrowman, with his unique take on the song The Wizard and I from the musical Wicked. His song is called The Doctor and I.
When I meet the doctor, once I prove my worth, and then I meet the doctor, what I've waited for since birth. And with all his doctor wisdom, by my looks he won't be blinded. Do you think the doctor is dumb? Or like Oods, he's so small-minded? No, he'll say to me, I see who you truly are, Jack, a man on whom I can rely. And that's how we'll begin, the doctor and I. Once you're with the doctor, your whole life will change. 'Cause once you're with the doctor, you are not estranged. No mother is not proud of you, no brother acts ashamed. And all of time has to love you when by the doctor you're acclaimed. And this gift or this curse I have inside, maybe at last I'll know why. When we are hand in hand, the doctor and I, one day he'll say to me, Jack, my boy, a man who is so superior, shouldn't a man who's so good inside have a different exterior? And some folks believe it's a fantasy, that in you there's a good man to see, so they'll appreciate you. May I defabricate you? And though, of course, that's not important to me, all right, why not? I'll reply, oh, what a pair we'll be, the doctor and I. Yes, what a pair we'll be, the doctor and I. Unlimited, my future is unlimited. And I've just had a vision almost like a prophecy. I know it sounds truly crazy, and true, the vision's hazy. But I swear someday there'll be a celebration throughout time that's all to do with me. And so it will be for the rest of my life, and I'll want nothing else till I die. Held in such high esteem, when people see me they will scream, as part of TV's favorite team, the Doctor and I.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Geek Spins Countdown to Relaunch. Please be sure to check out the show notes for this episode over at thegeekspin.com for links to the artist's website and where to find more great music. Also, stay tuned to the website because new regular episodes of the Geek Spin will be posted there very soon. Again, thank you for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Deacon's tatas.
Travanka's jugs.
Okay. Adric's ass.
This is knockers.
Yes, bad.
Joe's jugs.
Okay, there's a needle scratch
right there.
Okay, all right.